for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday morning, October the 27th, 2005. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service.
Why don't we stand? If I hadn't spoken to all of you this morning, which I'm certain I haven't, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And I'm happy to see my fellow brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, we need you.
Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
we pray for illumination. We pray for revelation. We pray for understanding.
Yes.
Oh, God, enlarge our borders.
Yes.
Our compassion is to those that are captive,
though, yes,
and to please you, God.
Yes, God.
So this morning we ask you to give us our daily bread.
Yes.
Oh, God, we pray, Father.
Thank
be found, Father, faithful in the work.
Yes, God.
And so, Lord, we come with thanksgiving. And we thank you for this time, this meeting, the fellowship of the saints of God. We honor you, God. And we're confident that the work you've begun in each of our lives, you are faithful to continue that work and to keep us in our seed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. I'll tell you what, a number of years ago, my wife and I were introduced to the Ministry of Deliverance. We were very fortunate in that the early leadership who has gone to be with the Lord understood that Christians could be demonized. So we got right into the battle. First, my wife being called, and I remember the Holy Spirit ministering through her to me in bringing my attention to the Ministry of Deliverance, of which I was ignorant of, because I love my wife, and I love the Lord. There was no rebellion whatsoever. It just, I was kind of like, duh, and what else? Oh, really? I've heard about that. And I met someone. I was in business at the time and doing my regular rounds. I was speaking to a friend of mine who was on the school board, to a secretary. The secretary was talking about some problems and normal stuff, marital problems. And I invited him to come to service in Silsby, Texas, which is about 8 miles north of our city. At that time, I was living in Beaumont, but fellowshipping in another city. And so they came, and at the time when our pastor was going to be with the Lord, began to give an invitation for prayer, I would assume probably salvation, and then an invitation for prayer and needs. This lady came up, and my back was turned, I believe, because the next thing I know, my wife was on the floor, and we had this individual on the floor looking or moving in a picture of a snake. And I wasn't frightened by it, but I was somewhat caught off guard, you might say, at my wife's methods are down there with an attitude, and I didn't judge the attitude as being contrary, but just the aggressiveness against the enemy. And anyway, from that point on, my pastor went to be with the Lord. He introduced me to Pastor Dean at a meeting in 85 when Worley was down there on one of many trips teaching on spiritual warfare. And I remember he was ministering to a prostitute, and there was a lady up in the front tent, and I've been having these problems with pain and so forth like that. And then something came out of my ears like I take a shoelace here like that and drag it out like that. It's like that. And I remember that happened, and I knew it was deliverance because my pastor, you know, practiced deliverance. Of course, I didn't need anything because I was baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. I was diehard Pentecostal. But I kept my mustache, so I was in rebellion. A little boy told me that. The preacher didn't tell me he got his son. He didn't get his son, but his son told me. And we're all still friends today. But they haven't changed, neither have I. Not yet, anyway, they haven't. So anyway, as the years began to progress, we were doing a lot of warfare. Pastor Dean was around 50 at that time, 55. And now I'm about that age, and he's in his upper 70s. And the war heightened. I can tell you, I could go on and on. It would take away from this morning's message. But as a precursor leading up to the possible spiritual roots to physical infirmity, you need to understand this. That I wasn't just cast into one system and in order to attain this information I have today. You're going to have an open mind to the truth of God and be able to use whatever's necessary when the war ensues. Excuse me. And so I've seen things where, like werewolves, teeth come out, just like in the movies, bite people and all that. And one day we was fighting this principality that was sent to kill me. God gave me a dream, and I don't get a lot of dreams and visions, but he told me specifically. And when the individual was there, I knew who he was, and I told him. But I told him laughing, like, I said, you were supposed to kill me, but you can't, you know, like that. And that demon got so mad, and I think he threw two or three people, he bit somebody in there, and then this little lady named Artis Thomas, well, some of y'all know Artis way back in the old days, Artis the Dipson, they used to be at professors at LSU. She walked up there and she said, wait a minute. She said, I take authority over all evil power and evil strength. I'm buying that strong man right now, and I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. And then she grabbed the person, now you get up right here, you sit right there. She said, come here right here, Jim, Brother Jim. And she put her little hands right there. I said, this is an old lady, 5'6". She said, now I'll remind you, I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. And she began to cast the spirit out of the same man that threw us all over the place and had blood all over the auditorium. So she considers me as her student. They mentored me. Well, they also taught Henry Wright. Attended one of their Campus for Christ crusades. A lot of people that came from leadership here and other places around the country. And don't just think they all of a sudden just showed up there. It's a lot of work.
Amen.
A lot of work. And so anyway, after years of progress and stuff like that, then I heard about the Happy Hunts.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard about them before they got into Lofton, Happy Laughing. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, but I knew them before that. And so I delegated a team of people for my staff. I said, okay, I'm sending y'all to one of these workshops. I'm paying the way. Y'all get down there and find what they do with these infirmities. So they said, okay, so I'll ship them on off. Because I had already, you know, worked with them in different cities. And at our area, whenever they came to town, they would have me come up. And so then I learned about the anatomy. And I was, early in my life, before Christ, I was a paramedic. A combat trained medic. I was an x-ray technician, so I studied the anatomy. So I knew the systems of the body already. And so I train all our ministers today to learn the systems of the body. So when somebody come with a headache, they don't seem to assume that it's a headache as a result of a demon in the head, which it very well is a demon in the head, but it may be because of the demon that affected some area in their back, shoulders, or it could be unforgiveness, hate, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on and on. But anyway, we try to do a complete evaluation, similar to what a doctor does, but more lined up with the scriptures. And so then all of a sudden we start seeing the number of back injuries and neck injuries and things like that healed. And because we had already the message of deliverance, we were able to throw out maybe anything that might have been psychiatry or anything else. Without judging, the people I trained didn't know anything. All they know is how I rewrote everything and how I gave the application. They didn't have a clue if I knew something they didn't know about the teachers. So you can build a ministry without putting down nobody. Okay. Boy, lo and behold, we kept on going. And kept, you know, because one time I told Lord, I said, well, Lord, we just... I mean, what else is enough? Then he started teaching me the tabernacles. And I spent 7 years teaching the tabernacles by a man who had a television show. And he mentioned a few things to me, but he said God sent him to Texas to learn about deliverance. So after 4 years, one day, God told me to hear him. So then I spent the next 7 years before his death learning about the tabernacles and furniture and parallel that with infirmities. Then as the years progressed, a number of people came into our life. Early in Gene Moody used to stay at my home, Tommy Cook and his wife, Bill Banks comes here a few years back. And just so many people over the years, and all of them were familiar with my pastor. He had taught in his church. I met them through him. I've never done anything independent of all authority. And so I believe that Henry Wright called me and emailed me 3 or 4 years ago and really asked me to join his team. But I already had a team. So I will help as much as I can. And so when they have people in that part of the country that have problems, they just refer them to us. But my allegiance is to this camp. And that's not wrong. It's good to be wanted. But you need to be fixated on your calling. I find that a lot of people that I've trained, some of them got too diversified. A wave of this type of work comes through the ministry, a wave of this that's highly profiled and recognition, they go. They show up about every 3 Sundays. So, I hope that this morning's message, I'll try to be very brief about it. It's very simple because I want to encourage you in an understanding that we've gotten from the scriptures pertaining to physical infirmities and their spiritual roots. And I apologize if I took a little time out to give you some history. I left out a lot. I think it's important to know that there was balance in my preparation. And I continue to desire balance and not be fixated on what I know how to do, what I know God can do through me. So all of you got some different things, and I need to be quiet and allow that to help me because I don't know who the next person is going to be that if I'd have listened to you, then we could have gotten them over to Jordan much quicker. Amen?
Amen.
So before I share what the Word of God has to say about physical infirmities and their possible spiritual roots, I'd like to refresh us on some of the New Age and what the New Age devotees, what they believe. Since in the last days, they are practicing the world's solution for quick fixes. There are a number of items that are on the market today that you can buy at the drugstores and New Age novelty shops, crystals and Japanese balls and meditation. Just a number of teas, and then there, if you desire to quit smoking, you're going to be, the world system now is confronting individuals in the church where you don't need to get prayer, you can just wear a patch. You got a weight problem, just get gastric surgery. And if you're over-concerned about aging, you can get a facelift. So, mankind is going to be provided in years to come, and they already have with a number of New Age substitutes. But will the Christians accept these satanic principles in place of God's Word? And I propose to you in the course of this hour that I will prove to you that many are already participating. In fact, I have been in seminars that I was overseeing and those that I were not overseeing, and I saw seasoned workers receiving ministry from individuals who practice a couple of things I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. And one, when I challenged the principalities and asked the people to stop, they were very submissive, and I thank God for that. And they asked for help, and they say, prove it. And so then I proved it and gave them literature on it, and I never had a problem with them, anything like that. But the person they ministered to, who's an author and an internationally known deliverance minister, is dead. Okay, but anyway, through institutional therapy, professional training courses, public education and a personal experimentation, a consistency has developed amongst New Age devotees that mankind has a cosmic destiny. And through mystical examination and psychic development of one's human potential, superior beings who have undergone spiritual reconstruction will supposedly emerge as the new vanguard of the human race. Their definition of the New Age movement is spiritual, it's political, social phenomenon, networking many occult metaphysical organizations and groups intending to transform individuals by means of mystical enlightenment so that a new age of unprecedented prosperity, peace, harmony can be introduced on the earth. The reality of New Age propaganda is not global harmony and enlightened masses, but death, destruction, and the purpose of the Antichrist. So briefly, I'd like to share with you a few techniques that are commonly being used, and many of these are practiced by unsuspecting believers, of which I personally witnessed in my life. I would think that all of us here, since this is a deliverance message conference, are familiar with Christian Science. Christian Science is a cult. It's founded by Mary Baker Eddy, and who wrote Science and Health with the Key to the Scripture. Well, she needs to learn about the Scriptures, though. She teaches in her writings that death is an illusion, God is a divine mind, and disease can be removed by right thinking. And this is humanism, and she doesn't know anything. This is a total error. They charge you for it, and they pray for you, but it's done with demon power. And unfortunately, some Christians are going there. Acupuncture. The term acupuncture comes from the Latin, meaning needle and puncture, which means to prick. Acupuncture is based upon the philosophy of Chinese medicine, which is rooted in Taoism. And Taoism is the primal energy of the cosmos and a harmonizing force in the universe. I've known a number of people, Christians, to receive acupuncture for weight problems and other physical pains and infirmities. Electromagnetic healing, the lighting is not real good for me here. Those individuals practicing electromagnetic healing believe that an electrical stimulation occurs by laying of the hands, and if you visit the sick in the hospitals and pray for the sick, you may know the staff members at the hospitals that are practicing this deception. If you're not familiar with it, you just assume they're just up there trying to get a temperature. Therapeutic touch is another thing that's practiced in the hospital. One branch of holism teaches that the body is a manifestation of energy, and illness is a condition of a poorly distributed quantities of this energy. So therapeutic touch suggests that a healer passing his or her hands over the body in a circular, and some people do this and don't realize what spirit is manifesting. I know some people rub you on the back and pray for you like that because it's compassion. But I would rather just line up with the scripture. Jesus just touched it. But anyway, so they rub their hands over the body in a circular motion, flowing motion, and they believe this can redistribute vital energy. So these techniques have already been introduced in the curriculum of many nursing schools and medical colleges. So your sons and daughters going to these schools, okay? All right, very common one. In our Southeast Texas, they got little signs and massage parlors up all over there. This is a new trend in the Pentecostal movement, reflexology. Practitioners of this deception believe the sole of your foot, or the sole of your feet, contain the secrets to healing, and that by massaging and stimulating particular areas on the sole of your foot, various infirmities can be treated. There is no scientific basis for reflexology, and perhaps this is why many Christians practice it at home and on their jobs as massagers. We have a number of Christian massage parlors in Southeast Texas. The practitioners believe they sense tension or heat in the bottom of the foot, indicating dysfunction in the parallel portion of the body. Reflexology has its origin with pagan shamanistic witchcraft healing methods. He proved the list of Antichrist healing methods will keep us here several weeks. And many of you know, many that I have not even covered in this brief reading. Now, in the following teaching, I'm going to explain very briefly the dynamics by which each element work to cause physical illness and the recommended method of counteracting it. Simply put, we're dealing with sin and repentance. This type of a subject is far too broad to be dealt with in any type of detail. Therefore, I will only expound a point of view, a way of looking at life and how we operate in the natural and in the spiritual realms. One thing must be very clear in this teaching. I'm not attempting to tell each person present what his or her particular root problems are. I'm only going to be dealing with underlying principles, not any specifics, except when I use a specific to explain something in the general. This lesson and scripture references can never become a cross-reference of diagnosis. And I believe this is one of the reasons why myself, Jerry McGee, Henry Wright, Carol Balazay, and several others from around the world don't have anything in print on this, because we're very careful that it must be very clear to the workers that we don't use these references as a quick diagnosis on somebody, because they come with a condition. You say, well, if you come with that condition, then your problem is so and so. We must always depend upon the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation from the Father. So this is why it's so dangerous. It's good for in-house and for workers to learn these things. Okay? But you must be very cautious on how you distribute it to distant disciples that you're not pastoring, so to speak, or entrusted to you, that will not misuse this. I believe that the scriptures reveal that every physical illness, including trauma, infection, inflammation, tumors, irritation, allergies, paralysis, atrophy, the other sicknesses, is a result of some spiritual reality. That the natural realm, the realm of sight, is always going to be parallel to and results from some spiritual activity. The physical manifestation of various diseases is just a fruit of some spiritual root. Some possible roots may include generational bloodline sins, curses, diseases, familiar spirits, Doc mentioned this morning, genetic weaknesses. Some of the possible roots could include the unrepentant or unconfessed sin, receiving blood infusion or blood transfusions, defilements, bitterness, unforgiveness, of course, not discerning the body, demons, and many, many more. Many, many possible reasons for or possible roots to physical infirmities. Now, something to consider is the significance in the location of a particular disease within the body is also very important. When we first started out, we were more concerned about driving the enemy out of the camp, out of individuals' lives. We were only concerned, and we were fixated on casting out the demons. But as we began to grow, then I began to hear what Pastor was telling us. We were more busy about wanting to get things done, and we wasn't hearing the whole, but we were producing fruit, I wasn't hearing everything that was being said. I was more fixated about my evangelism. I wasn't in error. I just hadn't reached the level of maturity to hear beyond what I was hearing. And so I wasn't hearing, and I assumed that he didn't teach us this. And as I looked back, and I realized he was teaching us the parables, but I was more fixated on getting the demon out. So, it is important that the significant in the location of the particular disease of the captive, when God made Adam from the dust, did he have a pre-existing pattern? Why are we each composed of these particular elements, organs, tissues, functions, systems in our bodies? Is it possible that there's a pattern for our bodies, that our physical bodies resemble our souls, that the two are counterparts, if not duplicates? This would mean that the location of the various functions of the soul would align with the locations of the same functions within the physical body. With this in consideration, it would be often helpful to consider the part of the body involved in a physical illness, and then to seek out what the scripture says about that specific organ or that particular member. A good idea is to go through the book of Proverbs, note any reference to the specific body part that's affected, get a concordance, check the whole Bible for whatever the condition is. When people come to us, over the years we've just done so many researches, but we still haven't touched the surface of this thing. But generally, if the appointment is lined up in advance, and I know what the manifesting physical infirmity is, then I begin to refresh myself in doing studies on that particular part of the anatomy. And I would like to just get more refreshed, and so that I can be available to the Lord should He share with me some things concerning that part of the anatomy. A good idea is to that you always find that a correlation between the physical body part involved and the spiritual, soulish, or the symbolic meaning that's attached to it. Now, the following statements I'm going to make here are only a bare bone outline of what a few of the natural body parts may represent in the spirit. That's all, just a bare bone. For example, in Acts 3, the feet are symbolic of faith. The ankles involve putting faith into action, like the lame man in Acts 3. Our walk symbolizes our growth and progress in the faith. I think it's significant that those healed of lameness, foot problems throughout the Bible, don't simply walk. They leap or run or dance. They have come through the illness and healing with an increase. If our illness concerns our feet, we consider all the many scripture references to the feet. The bruising of the heel of the woman's seed, the anointing of the big toe of the priest, the piercing of Jesus' precious feet on the cross, the statue with toes of iron and clay. Feet should be showed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet should not be swift to run to mischief. We should wash the saints' feet. We study, we pray, we meditate, we repent over the scriptures, and sooner or later something will be illuminated. Something will click, and we'll know the next step that God desires we take on our road to healing. Another example would be our teeth. Our teeth are referred to as weapons. The enemy's teeth are broken in our defense. Poor or broken teeth render the ungodly helpless. There's so much scripture about the mouth, the tongue, the teeth, that much study is required to find the possible spiritual roots for their diseases. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 19, the scripture says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. About 10 years ago, I had got an individual that became part of my work who I went to school with. He had about 25 years in ministry, and I really was leaning to him to catch on. I really needed, because he had accountable, he was had the ability, he had authority, and it wasn't his time yet. And so it led to a lot of frustration on my part, because I knew that I was entrusted with the lives of many captives. We had many people coming weekly from surrounding cities for deliverance. And I just really put a lot of emphasis. I'd get in his face, and I just kind of just ran on the parade there, so we got to get with the program. And I just really, one day I was teaching. I don't forget the message. And I just kind of glanced over there at him like that, and I got to thinking about what he didn't do with my tooth broke in my mouth. I repented immediately because I knew the word. I was up in Atlanta, Georgia, teaching here about August. And Dr. Steve helped me there. I appreciate that too. And Brother Dave, I don't know if he's here. A number of people all came in to help us. And I was speaking with with someone in leadership, I'll just say that. And they were telling me, they already made one statement, made one mistake in telling me about a friend of theirs in leadership who wasn't catching on to the program, wanted to go their own way, and I had no comment. It was like blah, 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 because I do not badger leadership. All right, so let it slide. So on my last day, I was having the last lunch. And at the table, he turned to me, and I had just made a nice statement about how I had a great time with your friend. They took us out to supper, and we had a great time at the Applebee's, and I really like to meet them again, you know. And he turned around and said, yeah, but he won't learn to let it boom, 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 and his tooth broke in his mouth right there on the spot. And he looked at me, couldn't say nothing. And then he emailed me a few days later all the scriptures on the TV. Repenting. I don't know. I think the scriptures are real. Fortunately, when mine broke, I had a dental appointment the next day anyway. It just broke like that. It just, whoa, I said, oh, man. Let's talk about the head. I believe that every part of us, our anatomy, has a spiritual significance. The head speaks of authority, the neck speaks of submission, the hand speaks of ministry. Your arms are your strength. Your feet, your walk, your ankles, your face, just every part of it. Then you got to go on the inside, too, and work with all of the organs, the sinews, and wrap the nerves. So it's not very complicated. You only have to prepare for each case that's coming to you, and most times, the sicknesses, because they're significant, you're going to have some type of information before the individual comes, unless you're doing the work of an evangelist. It doesn't matter anyway, because God's the one who released the gifts of healing in the auditorium at that time. Well, I'm sitting down here, you still got to give a healing, but it's a council thing. And so we have preparation, right? So you don't have to just sit out there, oh, I got to, oh, I'm a lawyer, we're going to gym notes. I'm reading here. So you can take the notes and do the same thing at a teacher. Anyway, and so the head represents authority. Headaches and other illnesses affecting the head may be due to issues with authority. Yeah, for instance, in Isaiah, the very first chapter, it talks about the rebellious state of Israel. And it says that, hear, O heavens, and give ear, verse 2, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Yes, ma'am. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 2. And I'm going to skip all the way down here. Because it's very clear what he said about that. Then he says that in verse 6, the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but it's wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed, neither have bound up, neither mortified, or bound up with ointment. In other words, in verse 5, the last two, he says, the whole head is sick. And so when people come to me with problems with the head, I talked to them. You remember, we want to begin a relationship, and once the trust is established, then I can just barrel in there with the Word of God, and whether they receive it or not, that's not my problem anymore. But first they need to know that I'm going to give the Word and that I love them, and it's the Word now that's going to be ministered to them, so they might get a parade rained on them, but they need to be able to look at me and say, well, they're going to struggle with the demon. Brother Larry really loves me. But Brother Larry just said, pow! But he loves me. Okay, so I spend time, just like I do with all of you, going out in relationships. And I receive reproof from you, too. Yeah. Now, I got one this morning. Just sitting down at a table. Somebody reproved me. I got to thank them. I said, well, why would they say that? You know? I said, well, okay, it makes sense. But anyway. In the types of in headaches, it might be control spirits. When we try to control, we can get migraines. We may have come from families that had mothers or fathers that were domineering and controlling, and we've taken on those soul ties. Unforgiveness, hate, and for sure not submitted to authority. So when I speak with people that have head problems or call me for counseling for migraines and things like that, I cover all of those aspects, particularly if they're submitted to authority somewhere. You know, it's kind of strange that most people that move in signs and wonders, they call you from around the country, pastor, and all that, they normally not associated with any church, or if they somewhere, they just say, well, I just go there, I don't like it. So I have to work through that for hours before we can even get to ministry. You know? And I just, it's not the teacher that tell you about how to submit to authority, even if the authority don't know what you know about deliverance, but they have a love and intercession and sincere, and they believe in healing. It's okay if you know something else. Okay. Stay there until God moves you. But that's not the teaching today. Just don't go get a bunch of proselytes and have a whole group meeting that your house talking about what they don't do. Oh, my God. I just wrote a book on it about strange fire, deliverance workers who don't serve with order. So anyway, it'll be here. The head, as I said, represents authority. What about the neck? The neck is symbolic of submission or stubbornness. A stiff-necked generation is resistant to the Lord. The neck is the seat of rebellion or the yielding and taking of the yoke. If we could see in the Spirit, perhaps we would be able to see that many believers have additional yokes other than the yoke of the Lord around their necks. And because of curses, we could see in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, I think Dr. Someone was covering that yesterday. But in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, verse 47, it says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. Isn't that been stressed the last 2 days? Maybe I need to get on that bandwagon. So that's prophetic. It's just been going on, you know. So I need to catch up. I really haven't caught it until I say it to myself just now. That it must be something to that. For me too. Especially coming out of a very traumatized environment in my city, you know. You don't know what how post-traumatic stress is involved there, even though, you know, you're the man of God. You know, sometimes it's like driving an 18-wheeler down a road full of gas, you know. Tank run out, you got to dip into that one. You're supposed to be delivering that, ain't you? Oh, okay. But anyway. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all the things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and thirst and in nakedness and want of all things, he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck, so you have been destroyed. So it's a good possibility that neck problems, problem with this, you can learn the skeletal system, because in the skeletal system you got cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spines, and they all have dyspareunia, and there's over 300,000 nerves that radiate from the spine that go around here, so you can have a twitching on the face as a result of something in the thoracic spine. A pinched nerve. You could have got it transported, so in a car accident. But still, a car accident is a crushed spirit, so for somebody to hit you in the car, you must have had something said, attack! So you still got to go back there and deal with it. You can't just say, oh, I was playing sports. I play sports too. You ought to see my knees. Look like a professional athlete. Though I have no arthritis. I give God the praise and the glory. I guess you probably heard baseball. Some of you heard my teaching on the God of sports. When I left out the other day, everybody was hollering across the auditorium. What was the score last night? I don't know. I went to sleep. The night before last, when the Astros lost. But anyway. But okay. Let's talk about the organs of sense just a moment. They also parallel their spiritual equivalent. The eyes speak of vision. We see both with our natural and our spiritual eyes. The ears represent hearing. They are the first sense organ to awaken from the sleep. The last to lose their function. The skin, this is very important here, especially the hands, represent feeling, touch, pressure, pain. The skin is a significant border which is not to be breached by cutting or by injecting. Anybody here never got an injection? Anybody here never been cut by even a bramble bush or a tree or something? Well, I think it's significant that the Lord showed me some time ago that even on my job, if I took a laceration because I was rushing, just take a moment and say, I'm sorry. Because this is your temple. Don't get religious about it. Don't get in front of a bunch of people and say, thus said the Lord. I just said, Lord, forgive me. You know, because of believing and stopping Jesus, and I go about my business. I just take a moment, I just honor him for cutting over and this guy so fast trying to hurry up and get to the TV show or something. Cut my finger. I won't just take nothing like that spilling innocent blood. Oh, he's very religious, ain't he? Yeah. I don't know. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 28, the scripture says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And people, the city here is talking about you and I are the city of the great king. In the city of the great king, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of his, that's us. Okay, and the skin speaks of the walls, okay, to our spirit and our soul. It is our border. Alright, so a cut or break in the flesh could mean a break or breach in the spirit. Now I remember an individual, two friends of mine came over in 1994. That was the year we had the winter storm and the ice in our city. We lost power, so it's very easy to remember that particular time. And one of them was a doctor who had quit. Would have had to be 40-something at that time. And I have it on tape. Dan was giving a testimony. His daughter was at the service that night at our assembly. We had no power in the city, but at the local level, we were on. We had electricity because we were close to the main city power system, and we had gas and we had heat. So we had church. But when we went home that night, we had to get around the fireplace because we had no lights and we had firewood, of course. And, of course, I gave everybody the opportunity to stay who wanted to stay in the building. And, but then he gave a testimony of an individual that had called and said their daughter had just received a deep laceration around the deltoid muscle, right below the deltoid on the rear side, which is the ear area. So you're going to have minimum blood there because you don't have a lot of blood vessels there. You have a big mass of muscle here. And they said it was pretty much about 3.5-4 inches cut, and they had some bleeding, and he told them, tied up with a diaper. He and his wife and the children were in the process of maturing from dependence on the medical perspective into prayer and believing God. And so this was just kind of like a test for him. And they just said, he said that he and his wife and daughter said, well, let's just pray that hopefully that they'll be open to ministry instead of just asking me to give a suture to the daughter. And so when the people came, they said that they came in, they were so pleasant, they were relaxed, and they sat down and he said, well, let us pray. So they prayed. And then God gave him a word of knowledge saying that the man was having problems at his job. He was a manager of a restaurant. And that because you had not dealt with the issue properly, then your daughter, which is the weaker vessel, has been cut. Knife. Backbiting. All right? And the man turned around and said, well, I didn't tell him nothing. Tell him nothing. So they got into a little, like, who, you know, they thought maybe the doctor knew, or the minister knew. And they began to say, well, yes, we found several members from my church who works at the restaurant for us, drinking beer and stuff, and we reported them, and now they are saying things and being arrogant around this place, and we just love them. And he said, well, don't y'all know spiritual warfare? And they said, well, no. So he taught them a very brief lesson on prayer, intercession, which is spiritual warfare, okay? And you don't have to know a lot about demons to know how to bind and loose, you know, and pray and bless people and things like that, okay? And after they did that, they repented. And after they did that, then he said, okay, well, set the baby up here. And they began to take the band-aid, it was a diaper, take the diaper off the daughter's arm. And when they took the diaper off, it closed up like that before their eyes. I had two witnesses at my church who saw it, the ex-doctor, and his daughter was right there at that time. She must have been 20, 21, 22 at that time, in 94. And the cut closed up like this to about 1 inch. His experience as a doctor, out of reaction, made him grab the white tape they use when they do sutures, and they put it over the sutures. Just have it. He grabbed the tape and put it over the remaining scar, and it closed up to that. Then he knew what he did. That's far as his faith went. This is no big deal. You learn from things like this. That was good. That was a good thing. I thought that was awesome. So here's an indication that the laceration in the cup was a result of backbiting and evil words and malicious words being speaking against you, and you just playing Ahab, just taking it because you love them so much. I was at a meeting in Jasper, Texas, teaching. And after the service, they were bringing individuals up for prayer. They brought a baby up. The baby had skin bumps and rash all over the baby. I didn't recognize the lady who had brought the baby. She's a pastor who I've had lunch with before, with other friends, in other meetings. But I didn't recognize her at that time. She had another lady with her. They said, well, Pastor, would you know, they spoke to me like they knew me, you know, and I didn't know, I still didn't catch it because everybody being nice, right? And they said, would you pray for the baby? We got some problem with this child and stuff. I said, sure. I said, I looked at the baby, so I just prayed for a moment like that. I said, in the womb, the mother, as the Lord impressed my heart, in the womb, the mother was very, very concerned whether or not the father would be around. She took all of the stress and anxiety of the relationship because she feared that the husband or the boyfriend would not be there to support the child, and that she had done this great sin, and all of that weight was upon her, and it ended up attacking the walls to the city of the baby. And then the pastor spoke up, well, Pastor Landon, so, that's exactly what happened, exactly, we've been counseling, exactly what I said, well, let's pray for the baby now. I said, since we're in agreement, so we broke the curses, rebuked the spirits, and I've never heard anything back. I don't go run behind the signs and wonders. You know, God gives us enough victories to keep us going, and some defeats to keep us honest, but I am positive that was on the road to victory for that child.
Amen.
And so if God wouldn't give a word of knowledge, he's not going to do something.
Amen.
Huh? So I don't need to call over that fire if he did it. Blood. I had an RN nurse working for a doctor's office. And a pastor friend called me and asked, can we meet with her and my wife, of course, to minister because she was...
This is the end of part A of this CD. Please play part B. Thank you.